So if you have your Bible, it's Mark chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 12. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Oh, that's pretty cool how they say that, in the house. Jesus was in the house. Okay. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." That's pretty amazing. Are you ready to hear the word? All right, let's give it up for Pastor Alex.
Thank you. How are you all?
Awesome.
Well, we're continuing our series on friends. All right? How many of you guys have friends? All right. Awesome. How many of you like to have more friends? Okay, quite a few. Almost everybody. Well, today I'm going to give you a few more tips on the good type of friends that you could have. And today Jesse read out of Book of Mark, chapter 2, right? He read about four guys who had a friend who was paralytic. He was paralyzed waist down. And when they heard that Jesus was in town, and when they heard that he was a healer, they decided to bring the paralytic to Jesus. And when they got to the door, the house that Peter lived in was so small. It was about 600 square foot. That's like some of your living rooms. All right, maybe bigger than your living room. And imagine a town of about 1,000 people trying to fit in a 600 square feet room. I mean, they were like sardines, you know, standing up. There was no room to breathe. And so these guys came in and they were like, "Hey, we got a paralytic here. Room for the person who's in a wheelchair." And everybody was like, "Uh-uh. No, thank you." So they weren't pretty nice. And these guys, imagine having those kind of friends. They won't take no for an answer. Just, they're going to get it done. So they get up on the roof. One of them had a bright idea. "Let's get up on the roof. Let's tear the roof apart. Doesn't matter what's going to fall down. You know, let's just tear the house down. Vandalize the whole place. Who cares about Peter or his family? We need this man healed." So they open up the roof. They get the paralytic in there. And he's just laying there. And Bible says he has no faith. But his four friends had faith. And Jesus looked at him. And because he had no faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You know the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. Oh, you didn't know that. Romans. That's in the book of Romans. It says whatever is not of faith is sin. This guy had no faith. So he was in sin. So Jesus comes to him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Great. And as Jesse said, all these Pharisees and all these famous people, lawyers, you know, they were all rich people in there. And they were like, "Hey, how dare this guy act like God? Who does he think he is? Imagine if I came to you and said, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" You'd be like, "What?" Actually, I've done that before. I came to a person and I said, "Son, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name." Because Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. There's scripture where Jesus gives his disciples power to forgive sins. In the book, in the Gospels, it says, to whom you forgive sins, their sins will be forgiven. To whom you don't forgive sins, their sins will not be forgiven. I know it's crazy. The power that Jesus delegates to his servants. So in this case, Jesus says, and gives us an example, and he says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody is freaking out. What the, you know, is going on here? You're forgiven. Blasphemy, yeah. Heresy, what is he preaching? And then Jesus says something like this. What's easier to say? You know, he says words are cheap, right? I mean, anybody could say your sins are forgiven. He said, but having power to heal a man, and that's different. There's power. And he turns to him and says, son, pick up your bed, get up and walk. And suddenly this man got faith in him. First, it was his four friends who had faith. Suddenly, this man got faith, got up, pulled his leg, and stepped. Wiggle. I've done that before. I was sitting over here in about back in the beginning when I came to this church first. And I was crazy for God. More than even... I had less wisdom. But I had a lot of faith. Action, yeah. Not a lot of wisdom, a lot of action, a lot of faith. Okay? And so... And so I would do crazy things. I would just read Bible and I would try to copy Jesus. Okay? And so we were supposed to have a man who was from South America. He was a pastor who would lay hands and heal people. Okay? And God would heal through him. Okay? And he was supposed to come on Wednesday night service and he didn't show up. And here we were advertising with Center of Life that, hey, this man, he will pray for people and God will heal him. It's coming. So all these people in wheelchairs have come. Seriously. And we're like, we're sorry to announce the healer is not here. But then we're like, you know, why don't we just have a service of healing service? So we read all the scriptures and I wasn't the preacher. I wasn't even in charge. I was sitting kind of where you're sitting, in a art of hustling. The art of hustling. I was sitting about where you were sitting, man. That's a cool t-shirt. The art of American niceness. The art of hustling. What else? What else art, you know? What? The art of war, yeah. Anyway, all these arts. The art of love. The art of love. All right, anyway. And so I was sitting in the back there. And this man, he was very skinny, and he was in a wheelchair. And I got enough faith, and I said, get up. I'm serious. And guess what? The man got up. And I said, come on, we got to start walking to the front. Because, you know, he got up, but he wasn't, you know, he was shaking like this. I mean, seriously. I start walking with him, and he stumbles. And in one thousandth of a second, I just had such doubt just pierce me through my spirit. And I was like, what have I done? What have I done? And I was like, Alex, do you always have to rock the boat? Why do you always have to just... And my teacher in my third grade would always call me, just... always jumping, like Peter, you know, always just saying something when I didn't need to say it, you know. And first saying, then thinking, you know. And I'm like, why do you always do that? Since then, I've made my peace with myself. That's how I'm made. So, you know, everybody has weaknesses. And so he stumbles, and I was walking alone with him, and I grab him by that. Like, you know, you grab your wife like that, kind of, and just like pull him in, you know, by the waist, and you pull him in. Oh, and my faith just, as much as I had faith in the beginning, my faith just crumbled and crashed in millions of little pieces, like a glass vase would just splatter. And I was like, oh, let me go back. But I already started walking. I was coming up to here, you know? And this all happens in a millisecond. And you know, he stumbled. I took him back, set him in his wheelchair. But a month later, I found out that doctor said he will never walk again. And a month later, he was walking already. God has done that. Now, was it because of my faith? I probably doubt it. But it could have been of my little faith as a mustard seed. It didn't happen right away. But a month later, when doctor said he couldn't walk, he was walking. I don't know, maybe he got healed naturally. You know, God heals naturally through time, right? God also does miracles. Miracles are something that happen instantaneously. Something that we cannot explain with our mind and reason. Okay? So that's what happened. Jesus touched him, and because of faith of his friends and because of Jesus and the power that was within him, this man got healed. Can I tell you more healing stories? Or should I just go friends? Because I want to talk about friends. Let me talk about friends. Yeah, you guys like stories, but I'll save it for next time. All right. So anyway, where are we going with this?
Friends.
Hallelujah. Now, if you have a phone that has Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, go ahead, start Facebooking. All right. I like to read your thoughts. I go on Facebook, and most of you are my friends, so I like to read what you say. If God gives you a thought today, or maybe you can steal my thought, just write it down. Now, if you don't have Facebook, write it on your phone's notepad. If you don't have a phone, write it on a piece of paper. You have a bulletin, on the back there's sermon notes. Write it there, come home, and then Facebook it. I want to see your thoughts. I want to see that you guys are growing. I'm so proud of Tanya Rosenquist today. We have been on her. I've been telling her, your next step in spiritual growth is to drive. You got to stop being dependent on people. You can do it. You don't have to have fear. And I'm so proud of her. She's not here, but I'm so proud of her that she is driving today. Okay? Now I hope she gets a driver's license here soon, but... But she broke the fear. And fear, remember, it's not from God. Whatever fear you have. What's that? No, go ahead. She broke the back of her fear. And now she stepped over the fear. And she's driving. And because of that, her life will be liberated. She can go anywhere she wants. She doesn't have to call and beg people. Please come pick me up. God doesn't want us to be dependent on... You know, God wants us to be interdependent, but not dependent. Children are dependent. They have to be. But as we grow up, we become independent. And then, we're so independent, we want to be dependent, so we choose to be dependent. We become interdependent. But you cannot be interdependent unless you first become independent. Amen. Very important for that. Now, have you ever had a dependent friend? Have you? Dependent, they always need something from you. They need you to do things for them. Friendship is not built on dependency. It builds on interdependency. Right? You want a friend who doesn't beg you always for money. You want a friend who has money, just like you have money. And if you give him money, you know that that's not because you have to. It's because you want to. Right? So interdependency in a relationship is so important. Okay, so if you're still dependent, get independent. And then get interdependent. Amen. Today we're talking about a topic that's called friends, good friends, and best friends. Are you ready for this? Good friends and best friends. There's a difference between good friends and best friends. How many of you know that in your life, you will not have many best friends? You will have many good friends and few, one or two, if you're lucky, best friends. Okay? None of us can say, I have tons of best friends. If you do, means you're not too wise, because you're telling your business to everybody and people are laughing at you behind your back. There's not many people who you can call best friends. Women usually have more best friends than men do. Would you agree? Women usually have more best friends than we do. And guys, listen to me. We're living in a generation in 2010 in a culture where people are selfish, self-seeking, self-pleasing. And you know, it's hard to have friends, best friends, when you're selfish. Everybody has their own motives, and we kind of stop caring about other people, depending on your personality type also. If you are go-go personality, you might not have time for friends or best friends. If you're a more peaceful personality, you're all about peace, you're all about pleasing people, you're never going to tell people that they're wrong because you're afraid to hurt them. You never want to see anybody cry. You might have more friends. If you're a fun person, you have a lot of friends, but they're not all real friends. They're more shallow friends. They're party friends. As long as they're party, we're friends. When things come to serious matter, we can't even talk. It's like, it's weird, dude. What are you feeling? It's just too weird. Get away from me. I'm going to go have party here with these friends. You've had those types of friends too. And there's people who are loners. They're usually the perfect type. Okay, they're not perfect. Just remember, nobody's here perfect. But there's people who think they are. Or want to be, yeah. And so for them, it's like, I can't have friends because they will mess up my pattern of life. They just will mess with me. I'm always right, so I will always have to disagree with them and argue with them. You know, there's people like that. They're always disagreeable. They're perfect in their mind. So everybody else is wrong, right? So those people, and they're usually introverts, right? There's extroverts and there's introverts, okay? And so, anyway, so if you're selfish, if you are self-seeking, if life is all about you, you will have a hard time finding friends. And if you don't have friends, psychology and statistics tell us that you will live a shorter life, you will be more miserable in life, okay? Kids that don't have friends will do worse than school, get into more trouble. So having friends is so important in our life. And Bible teaches us so much about friendships. Last week, we talked about trustworthy friend. You've got to be able to trust them. We talked about friend who's mutually chosen. It's the one you like and they like you. It's not the one that you say, I want to be with you, I want to hang out with you. And they're like, Or they say, listen, you're my best friend. And you're like, when did that happen? Let's hang out all the time. Let's have the same matching t-shirts. All right? Yeah, it's my birthday party. It's my anniversary. It's when we met. It's half a year since we met. It's 3 months since we met. It's our month anniversary since we met. It's too much. They're like the golden retriever. Always wagging their tail. Always wanting to play. And they're fine to have. Golden retrievers are fine to have for a dog. But not for a friend. It's just too much. Now, and I said they're not necessarily bad people. They're great people. They just don't have their own life. And so all they want to do is just hang out. Let's just hang out, hang out, hang out. We talked about last week that your friends have special access to you. Right? We're to serve everybody. As a church, we're a family. We have the same blood running through our veins, the blood of Jesus. However, we're not all friends, best friends. Right? Now, older couples connect naturally closer to older couples. And they have access. Younger couples, you know, and so we have access, special access when we're friends. What I meant to say. Okay? You have special access to your friends. You love everybody. You love your family, right? But teenager brother and his 5-year-old brother are not going to be best friends. They're to love each other. They're to serve each other. But it's different than having best friend. So your best friends have special access to you. Next, your best friend is your peer. Okay? A lot of times, you just watch this. A 60-year-old and a 15-year-old are not peers. I said, your teacher and a student is not peers. Your mentor and the protege are not peers. Your coach and your player are not peers. Although they do life together, they hang out together, they like each other, they will do things for each other, but they might not be best friends. And in school, students and teachers, right, cannot have a best friend relationship. Because in Florida, otherwise you get a slap in the wrist by the judge. Anyway, so there is peer relationship. Your friend has to be your peers, right? We have friends who are our age, right? We have a lot of in common. A lot of times if I go with a 15-year-old somewhere for a meeting, I just cannot be friends. I mean, I could act like a 15-year-old. I've been there. I know how to. But it'll just be weird. 32-year-old acting like 15. There's a problem with that. Right? So it's different. Now, pastor and, well, let's say your boss and you cannot really, are not peers. Why? Because there's position of authority. Right? Best friend cannot be bossy. You cannot just tell your friend what to do all the time and they have to listen. Well, some of you can be bossy over here, but that's different. You choose to take it and you choose to, you know, be. But you know what I mean. There's authority involved. And whenever there's authority, that changes the dynamic of a relationship. That's why you see sometimes when a person, one person makes it big in life and his best friend didn't make it big. There's almost a, what do we call that? A great divide. Some people say, well, you've changed since you became rich. Yeah, of course he changed. You see what I mean? And you'll see this, guys. Once you start, girls, you can have a best friend in school. And you went to college, you got a job, you became a doctor. And your friend just didn't do anything with their life. Kind of float around, had fun, you know. And in 5-7 years, you'll meet together and you'll have nothing to talk about. Yeah, you'll talk about good old times, but that's only going to be once a year. Let's catch up once a year. And all you'll talk about, and I have friends like that, I meet with them once a year and we talk about what we did when we were young and stupid. And that's it. Beyond that, we're kind of like, so how's life? How's your life? So peer relationship. So as life changes, friends will change too. Now we're not talking best friends. We're just talking friends. But sometimes best friends will change as well. Amen? Amen. I remember when I was 19 years old and I opened a business. And you know this. And I had friends who were like, we were all on the same level. And one day they were bragging how they were working great jobs and making good money. And I started bragging too. And they couldn't believe how much, you know, I make as a business person. And I realized pretty fast that you just don't tell your friends how much you make. Because they'll resent you for it. Now, if you make as much as they do or less, cool. Hallelujah. We're all in the same boat. Row, row, row. As soon as you make double or triple, you're in trouble. And they started making all kinds of names about me. And I realized that, whoa. And I thought these were my best friends. And I was like, whoa, I cannot tell people how much money I make. They are not all going to be happy about me. But I can tell Andre, because he makes about as much as I do, so, you know, we're okay. And anyway, and so the relationship changed. And I still feel hurt since then. Because I was like, But now I understand, and I have to let go. I forgive him. Right now, I forgive him. I forgive him now. And just, you know, friends change as life goes. But there's friends that don't change. Okay? But usually friends are peers. Peers. Do you understand peers? The same level. You're 20 years old, they're 20, 21. You know, in that area. You kind of have the job they do. And as you grow, as your friends grow, you know. But if you grow here and your friend stays here, trust me, it's not. That's why some friends hold those who are wanting to grow down. That's why they start pulling them down. If you start getting good friends, if you start living, getting a good job, have you noticed how your friends start treating you? Yeah, a little different. It's like, and they use this excuse, you've changed. Yeah, I changed. And I'm going to change. And I'm going to continue to change. Because growth means change. It's just like grew. Yes, I don't think like I used to think. Yeah, I used to be broke and in debt. And you know, I used to do stupid things. I used to blow my money like it was, you know, nothing. But yeah, I've changed. I'm not going to buy everybody, you know, anything they want. I've changed. Because I'm growing. Amen. So your friends have to be your peers. Now we talked about best friend, fake friends. Right? And the scripture says wealth adds many friends. Why do they become your friends? Because they want some from you. Some people will reject you. Others will use you. Amen? Next thing, sinful friends. A perverse man spreads strife. There's people out there who hate it when two friends are doing good. So they'll try to get inside and tear it apart. I see how in our nation, there is forces working to divide people. Especially between races. There is forces working to make one hate the other. While acting as a savior of people. And we shouldn't fall for that. Those are perverse people. Because they want something from somebody, so they'll act like they're on your side. And they'll separate among brothers. I hate it. The more I live, the more I hate it when we are just get separated. And it's all political. It's all mind games. It's all like Inception movie. You know, somebody playing with your mind on TV. And you're watching movies. You watch TV and automatically you start thinking a certain way. They're brainwashing through the media. Be careful. That's why the Bible says be washed by what? By the Word. Don't be washed by the media, by the TV. Sometimes, most of the time, you have to sit and watch a movie and rebel against it. You cannot, you have to close your heart and go, no, you're not coming in. Hallelujah. They're sensitive friends. Doesn't matter what you do, they just get offended. You must spend time with them. You must treat them a certain way. Otherwise, if you don't, they'll be offended and they'll be pouting at you. Pouting? Sensitive, is that sensitive friends. They're always too sensitive. Doesn't matter what you say, you can't joke with them anymore because they take it so seriously. And guess what? You don't want to be with them anymore because they're too sensitive. It's all, they're taking it as personal attack. It's just because dad didn't hug him or something, you know, when they were little. And so they're all, you know, messed up because mama didn't tell him she loves him. So, you know, they're just too sensitive. Stop that. Give people room to live, to be themselves. Why do you want to be their friends in the first place if you don't like them? Why are you trying to change them? You're too sensitive. Stop this. People in church could become sensitive. Well, we're all supposed to be friends. I'm supposed to come to pastor's house anytime I want to. No. No, I don't think so. You got to call. My friends can come anytime they want to. But not everybody could come. Yeah, and even them, I asked them to call. So I live in a country, so I like to, you know, be free, you know. You know, so call. One time Vadim, his brother, came and my dad used to do that. Man, I'm like, Dad, I had to have a talk with my dad. And he just comes, sometimes he would come through the basement, through the stairs, and here we are. Hey, Dad. My wife is there, me, and it's like, what are you doing here? He does have kind of an access, but I really do hope that he can just come through the front door and just ring a bell. So at least it warned me a little bit, you know. Warner brother. Warner brother. Anyway, so there's sensitive friends, right? Then there's painful friends. Those are the clingy friends. Listen to what the Bible says. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. It says don't go to your neighbor's house, to your friend's house all the time. Don't be a golden retriever type of friend. Don't just be all over your friend, you know. Just give him some room. Life, you know, they still have their own life. I know you're friends, but you're not boyfriend and girlfriend. You know, you're not a husband, wife. You're friends. Just remember that. Okay? Hallelujah. There's unreliable friends and there's jokester friends. They're all about fun. And they're good people. Just you can never be serious with them. Amen? So there's different type of friends. Yesterday we were in a movie theater and we were watching Alpha and Omega. How many of you know that? That's where the Omega male came from. The theory of Mega Male. But we were in a movie theater and there was this 16-year-old couple. And you know they were a couple, but they were still kind of shy about it. A guy and a girl. And they were laughing and she would look at something and smile and he was like, why are you smiling? You know, and they had braces and stuff and still 16. And I decided to push, you know, I was just in a good mood, so I decided to talk to them. I'm like, are you guys on a date here? And they're like, no, we're not. And then they just keep standing at each other and looking at each other. Why are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that? Why are you smiling? And I just couldn't help myself. I said, because he likes you. And the guy was like shy, you know, getting all red. And I'm like, who? He's like, no. I'm like, where are you? And he was like, where's his best friends? And I was like, what? A guy and a girl best friends? That's like husband and wife. That doesn't work. Best friend. We tell each other a secret, a guy, a girl. And you know they like each other. We're just best friends. I'm like, that probably will never work. It'll become one or nothing. And this guy's going like this. And they were standing in front of me. We were standing at the popcorn line, you know, popcorn line. And he's like, man, this guy is like, and he's saying about me, this guy's like, I just keep pushing, you know. And so they were just like, why are you looking at me? Because he likes you. And you know they were. Because after the movie, I went and picked up my car. They came out of the theater. And I was waiting for my family to come in. And they came out of the theater and started tackling each other. And they would grab on and he would push her forward and she would push him back, you know. And it's like, come on, best friends? Yeah, right. So obviously they didn't understand what best friends were. That's a second base right there. Some kind of a base. I don't know what base it is. Anyway, best friends are people you can tell anything to. You can tell them your joys and your pains. If you get a good job, they will be happy for you. If you make good money, they will be happy for you. That's why I don't tell people how much money I make. Because they start being mad at me. I tell my wife, and she adores me. The more the better, she says, come on. Your best friend will probably be your husband or wife, your spouse. Everybody else will probably be your good friends. Would you agree? Because you can't tell everything to everybody. This won't be happy for you. However, because my friends, I have three good friends, and they kind of rejected me because I felt rejected by them when I became, you know, when I opened a business and started doing good. They rejected me. I said, you know, if I can't have best friends, I won't have any friends at all. And for many years, I lived like that. And that's not the right way to live. Because remember, life is boring without friends. God wants to be your friend. Imagine God needs for you to be his friend. So how can you say I don't need friends if God needs friends? Abraham was God's friend. 12 disciples were Jesus' friend. Now were they his best friends? Probably not. They were good friends of Jesus. His father was his best friend. He could talk to his father anything he would like to. But to his disciples, he said, I want to tell you more, but I can't. You just won't understand. And remember that time that he told them that you will eat my blood, drink my blood and eat my body? He had 72 friends and 12 were left because they didn't understand it. You can't tell people everything, but you should be able to tell your spouse everything. Amen. So today, if you don't have a best friend, maybe it's okay. Don't lock your life out. Don't just lock your life and says, I don't need anybody because I can't have a best friend. You can have a good friend. And those are as good to have. Friends are people who we live life with and enjoy life with. Listen to me. Friends are people who we live life with and enjoy life with. Okay? I live with Tanya. She's my best friend. I can tell her anything. All my problems, I could tell it to her. I'm so glad that she's a psychologist, so I could, you know, just, and she could help me with this stuff. And and she could counsel me. And she, oh man, she's such a wise counsel. But anyway, and husbands, you, your wives, or opposite, you know, are wise people. God gave you. You're on the same level. You grow together. That's why I said, I will not do ministry unless I do it with my wife. Listen, I said that. I will not, and the way we set up this church, that if a husband is in ministry, his wife has to be in ministry or at least support his ministry. Help me out. I don't want a man on my team and his wife hates the church. No way. You need to fix your home first, brother. And then you can come on the team. I've seen women destroy people, man's ministry. Because she wasn't on it. And from the beginning, since we started this church, I said, no, no, no. If a husband is in, wife has to be in. Or at least supportive, 100%. Because a lot of times, a wife will get jealous. Or a husband will get jealous because wife is in ministry. And that's not right. If there's no peace in your home, there's not going to be peace on my team. And I'm not going to deal with drama, mama. No drama. So that's why it's so important. And I watch over that. I watch over that. I say, well, over there, not right. Some, let's fix that if we can. Anyway, so friends are people who we choose to live life with together. Now, guys, let's talk about you first. Maybe you like fishing, you're hunting. Your wife will probably not going to want to go and cut a deer's heart out and bite it. Just kidding. Your wife will probably not want to go and tear a pheasant apart just for the good stuff and tear his guts out. I've done it. Come on. You've done it. It's fun. Yeah. Your wife will probably not always want to go fishing with you. So listen, what are you going to do? Be depressed on a Saturday and just, oh, I don't know what to do. Tired of this, I'm bored. No, you need to find a friend. Amen? And guys, how do you know a guy wants to be friends with you? He'll say, do you want to go fishing next weekend? That's like he's saying, you want to go on a date? A guy date. Amen, right? I mean, or guys would tell me something like this. You want to go paintballing? No, I don't like it really. I get hurt, you know. Have a bruise and stuff, you know. I remember going one time and they shot me. Somebody ran behind me and just like point blank, just do, 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 do. And I was like, ah! That hurt. That was fun. And so, but later I realized that when a guy says, let's go paint, you know, shoot paintballs, the guy's saying, I want to be friends with you. No, he's not saying, let's be best friends automatically. Let's hang out. Let's be best. Let's go do something. When guys watch football together, my wife doesn't understand football. And she just like, she's like, is Vikings playing? Yeah, the colors. And she's like, who won? Are they playing right now? Look at him. Yana, take his phone, please. No, I'm kidding. Okay, guys, I'm trying to finish here so you can go watch your Vikings. So friends, you can watch UFC with. You know, the fighting, guys beating. You know, you can't watch it with a girl. It is different. You can? I can't. My wife will not like it. I turned wrestling on. WWF or whatever. And she's like, man, that's what we're doing. And she complains. And I'm like. I'm like, Jesse watches it and Maria supports him. Why can't you support me? Come on. What else you don't let me watch? Cheaters too. She won't let me watch Cheaters, and I'm okay with that too. So I just like when they get caught, and I'm like, yeah, sucker, in your face. Slap him, come on, slap him more. Oh, man. Anyway, there's also work friends. Those are good friends at work. If you didn't have friends at work, it would be boring. I have work friends, and I'm so happy I have great work friends. We go to lunch together, and we have so much fun. Now, let me tell you that they're not necessarily all different people. Some of them here on this list will be the same guys. It'll be 2 to 3 guys you hang out with all the time, you know? So it's not like I have bowling friends, I have work friends, I have fishing friends, I have hunting friends, I have parachuting friends, I have, you know, there's going to be people you like, your peers, you have something in common, a lot of things in common, and you don't pick on each other. You're okay that they're not perfect, right? You're just like, okay, let's just do life together. And it's easier. So glad I have Andre, I have Lavar, I have Jesse, you know, I have Eli. You know, we're friends. We hang out together. There's ministry friends as well. We do ministry together. We're just good at it. We click. We connect. We have the same vision. We want to see more people come to Jesus. Friends. Now, girls, let me get to you. Shopping friends, obviously. Spa friends, maybe. Pedicure, manicure friends. Let me see. If you're moms, you like having play dates friends. You know, you go with certain women that have kids your age. Honey, right? Yeah? Yes? Girls' night out, very important. And like I said, girls are usually better at being best friends than guys. Girls are just, you know, ladies are just like, they're just nice to each other. I don't know, they're just close, they hug and they cry. And guys, we just, you know, I like you, man, you know, but don't hug me, you know? Yeah. Church is where we hug, that's it, brother. Like I said, some of these people will be the same people. So it's not necessarily friend for every category. Be shallow. So usually it's the same 2-3 people we have in our life, and they're called good friends. And listen, good friends, one out of those good friends, and don't push it. This is what next point is. Good friends could become best friend someday. But don't push it. The more you push a relationship, the more it will fall apart. Just be content with having a good friend. And listen, don't just have one friend and just expect to spend your whole life with them, because you'll have different interests. Maybe have 2-3 good friends. Maybe you're all friends. You know, one is busy, so we'll go hang out with another. Don't be that friend, what did I say, sensitive friend and clingy friend. Clingy friend is just takes one person and says, you're going to be my friend. And I dare you to leave because I'll chase you and whatever. Smother you, yeah. We don't do that. Have friends, you know, to live life with to make it better. Hallelujah. If you want to have friends, listen to me. If you want to have friends, you have to turn off certain personality traits out. There's four basic personality traits, and two of them you have to turn off most of the time if you want to have friends. There is a controlling personality type. Let's call it controlling country. Person just controlling, they like to get things done. Okay? There is peaceful country. A person likes to have peace. There is fun country. A person likes to have fun. Have you seen those people? It's all about fun. And there is perfect country. That's the person who is intellectual. They think, you know, they have a schedule. They like to do things their way. They like to eat food their way. You know, they like to wake up the same time. They like to go to bed the same time. They're just, you know, perfect. Now, if you want to have friends, you have to turn off your controlling personality, if you have that. Because all of us have all four personality. Some are dominant, some are passive, yeah. So, if you want to have friends, stop controlling people. I'm not talking to you, Tanya. You control it, you're fine. Don't overdo it, but you're okay. If you want to have friends, stop controlling. Stop always being in charge. Stop always telling people what to do. Stop always preaching to your friends. If you want to have good friends. Amen? Turn it off for a little bit. Now, controlling part of you, you turn on when a project needs to be done. Right? When you go to work and something needs to be done, you need to turn on your controlling part. People were getting this done. I'm taking leadership on this project. That's when you turn on. When friends get together, turn off the controlling part. Because people will call you a control freak. Right? Husband and wives, when you're at home, just turn off that controlling part off. Why don't you get a job and control? Get a project and control that. Don't control, you know, your wife. Don't control your husband. Right? Just kind of, you're getting this. Second part you have to turn off if you want to keep your friends is the perfect country. The perfection part of you, that you're always right, you're never wrong, you know it all, you know it better than everybody. Help me out. Turn it off. When you go with your friend, don't always say, no, you're wrong on that. I disagree, you're wrong. Turn it off. Because your friend will be like, man, we don't have a relationship. I have a mother or I have a father here. I have a teacher. I have a boss here. I don't need a boss. I need a friend. Amen. That's why it's important for friends to be peers. Because peers don't have the authority play happening. So don't turn on your perfect part. It's Holy Spirit teaching our church because we need friends in life. And if we're going to do this church thing and kingdom of God, if we're going to build kingdom of God together, we have to have friends. We have to have people who will stand up for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when you have a relationship with your friend, you have to turn on your peaceful side, peaceful country, and fun country. Nobody wants a boring friend. What's wrong? What's wrong? Hallelujah. You want to have friends? Turn on your fun country and turn on your peaceful country above. Remember, don't turn off your other. Don't turn off the other, but just make him low up there. Be peaceful. Don't argue all the time with your friends. Now, if you like to have debates, you know, there's friends who like to have debates. That's fine. But if another one kind of like, hey, you're overpowering me. You're way over my head. Stop that. You won't have that friend. Stop controlling. Stop. Just have fun. You know? And there's times to control. Guys, there's times for war. That's when you take charge. Take control. There's time for peace. There's time for weeping. There are times for laughing. There's times for everything under the heavens. Solomon. Do it. There's time when you go and control. Control the heck out of that project. Make it done perfectly. There's time when you're just in a party and just relax. Don't try to compete with people. I'm better. Do you know what I do? You know what I've done? You know who I am? Turn it off. Turn it off. It's not the time. Turn on control when you're facing a Goliath and say, oh, you want to kill me? I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Hallelujah. How many of you are enjoying this so far? Don't be a loner. The older we get, the more we realize how much we need friends. But the older we get, the more we realize how much we don't have friends, how hard it is to have friends. Listen. I know you guys up there. What are you doing? I love our church. You know that. I love you guys being alive like this. I don't want you to sit there and just listen. I want you to talk to me, respond, laugh. I mean, the time just flies so much faster. Hallelujah. Good friends, and this is the last thing. Go ahead, Maria. Good friends could be someday best friends. But don't push it. Let it come naturally. And then you realize, wow, she's my best friend. He's my best friend. I love that person. I will do anything for them. Yeah, they're my friends. But just remember, it takes time to cultivate. And Bible is a book, such a practical book. It says, if you want to have friends, be a friend. Be friendly. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, Pastor Tanya is going to be finishing this series, and she'll talk about friends. It's going to be awesome. I want you guys to be ready for her. You know, when she preaches, it's awesome. So it's next Sunday, so be here.